Welcome to How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but it's how to make you successful. Man, Monday was such a relief in the investment world after a week of just getting hammered in the gut. I don't know about you, but Monday was a nice relief from losing five straight days in a row. Man, my portfolios were down, but Monday really made up for it. In fact, I recovered all my losses and then some, which made me extremely happy. Hope the same story was for you. Maybe you didn't even lose money last week, even better. My name is Matt Williams. This show is How to Build a Tent. This show is not about tent building, but it's talking about my portfolio. No, I'm just kidding. It's not about tent building, but it's how to make you successful. We're in successful in your business, successful in your career, successful in whatever you are doing in life to make money, to provide, to walk in what God has called you to do. If you want to reach out to me, you can find me on the social media sites, How to Build a Tent. You can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. On the social media sites, we live stream 12 p.m. Pacific every weekday, just in time for your lunch break. And you can also find us on YouTube on the Cross Politic channel. And if you want to email me, I already said that, you can email me, matt@howtobuildatent.com. Also, don't forget about the business plan contest that's coming up. It ends March 31st. Submit your business plan to me. Don't forget that. If you have any questions about that, you can look at episode 90. You can look at the official rules and the details below, or you can give me a little holler or DM, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Today, I want to talk about Twilio. Twilio is a great company. It's actually one in my portfolio. I have some stock. I have some options. And that is not a disclaimer because I'm going to tell you to buy the stock, although that might not be a bad idea. But I want to kind of talk about the founding of this company. It's really neat. One of the things that I always encourage you to do is to look into research, do your homework before you invest in companies. And one of the things you need to research is the management and how they operate, their stories, their experience, and that really gives you insight into how they run their company. And you want to look at how well they manage a company and a bunch of different factors like those. But there's just a really great backstory of how they were founded. And there's this great article, one of them I was reading while I was going through all my investment news. You get updates and you get articles sent to you based on who you follow and depending on which app you use for investment. I have like five or six different apps that I use normally. Anyway, so we're going to go through that article. The article is in the show notes, and it really talks about how they started, some of the struggles they went through, which I think is applicable to you who is starting a business. And for those of you who are going through the pain right now of starting a business, and hopefully this will give you some encouragement. And we will talk about some things that will just really bless you today and just start you off in the beginning of the week and just get you through and to encourage you to keep going, or maybe not. Maybe you need to fold in the towel and start something new. Throw in the towel, not fold in the towel. Fold in, I don't know. Sometimes I get my sayings mixed up. It's really embarrassing, especially when this is going in the internet for everyone to see. Okay, let's get into this. So in the article in the very beginning, it talks about Jeff Lawson. And it picks up right when he was going to raise some money. And I don't know if any of you have raised money before, but it is a really stressful thing. You really have to sell yourself. You have to sell your business like we've talked about in previous shows. And there's people judging you with lots of money. Usually it's intimidating to be around rich people. It shouldn't, but just human nature and all. You get kind of intimidated when you're around people with a lot of money, but let alone you're asking them for money, that just makes it even worse. It's almost as bad as asking your future father-in-law for your daughter's hand in marriage. I mean, that is really hard. For me, it was really hard. My father-in-law is a colonel, or was a colonel. He's retired now. And he was in Fort Knox. I was in California. So I had to do it on the phone. And I had it all planned out. And I was doing it. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. I know exactly what I'm going to say. And I had it all planned out. I had it all researched and figured out what I was going to say and had counterpoints done. And then I called him and I got his voicemail, and I freaked out because I'd never call him and I didn't think about what I would say if I got his voicemail. So I had this really awkward message on the voicemail, and I don't even remember what I said, but yeah, that's how it is like in raising money sometimes. So Jeff Lawson, it was all set to secure his investment and his startup, which it says in the article, it was basically a formality, which just tells you a lot about the investment world. Like, if you get into a meeting, usually the deal has already been done, and it's a little formality of who are you going to go with and just some things to close the deal. At least that's how it was back in this time. And it happened to be in 2008 during the economic collapse. And I think it said that the Lehman Brothers just like came out with how their company was going under, which another fun fact is I'm actually related to the Lehman Brothers. It used to be something reputable and, you know, you'd brag about, but not anymore. Maybe some of you don't even know what the Lehman Brothers are, but you can Google that. But right away, I just could relate to this story because I've gone through this too. I mean, I had a skateboard business back in 2008 as a younger guy, I guess I wasn't a kid. And we were building these high-end, basically like a snowboard, but for skateboards. They were really cool. Everyone loved them, but the problem was they were expensive. But we were selling them, and we were going after that high price point. But the problem is when a recession happens and everyone's losing their homes, they're losing their jobs, everyone thinks the world's ending, no one wants to buy a high-end skateboard. So we had to fold in the towel. And man, let me tell you, you don't know what's hard until you start asking people to work for you without being paid. And you don't even really know what's hard until you have to lay really good workers off for no other reason than you just couldn't figure out how to make it work. Man, that is hard. That is one of the hardest things to do in business when you have employees and you have to let them go. Not because of anything they did. They were great. They were great employees. They were putting in 110%. They were working extra hours for free. They were doing whatever they could to make it work. But you still have to let them go. Man, that is like almost a rite of passage in and of itself, because you feel like you lose part of your soul having to do that to people. I hope none of you have to do that, that we can together, listening to this show, getting advice from other people, that you will find ways to be successful where you never have to go through that. But man, I'm telling you, that really just, it just tears you apart. And then also, I mean, 4 or 5 years ago, this is a funny story as well. I had a similar experience of raising money and then just the bad news hitting, where I was in an industry and I was out making a pitch. And we had the prototype, we had money put into it, and we were starting to raise money. And it was in an industry where millions and millions of dollars were being put into it. And right as we were about to meet, we were at the investor's house, actually. It was after hours. We got a meeting because we knew them through school. And we were right about to make our pitch. And we got a push notification. It was funny. We got the same notification, the investor did, and me and my co-founder, that there was a lawsuit with the top two companies in the industry we were going into for the business model that we had. So nevertheless, we did not get that investment. All the money dried up. And in that industry, I think it was for 2 years, it's been a while, and for 2 years, like there was no money invested into the industry at all. It was very interesting. It was very like a emerging markets kind of industry. Anyways, so I totally relate with this guy, and maybe that's why I part of like this founding team so much. But there's just a bond that happens when you get these things out of your control happening that just like tank your business. But these guys actually pulled through the adversity of the market just crashing and that whole situation, which makes me really admire them. And like, wow, you know, they were able to do something with their product that I wasn't even able to do. And that is a really cool thing. And which begs the question of, so when do you fold and when do you persevere? When do you push through? And there's this quote in the article, it says, my co-founders and I looked at each other and thought, maybe this is a dumb idea. Maybe you know, maybe this is just stupid. And for those of you who have started a business, you know there's those low points where you always are questioning yourself, like, whoa, what am I doing? Why am I risking my money, my finances, my time? What am I doing? And you just ride those. And this is a time that they were in. And then there was some things. So there's some things that I think that you should do when you're in those times to like really kind of think like, should I go on or should I throw in the towel? Should I fold it up and take it and then start something else? And the first thing, now I'm assuming you think this is what you should be doing. You're passionate about the product. If you think that you are not called to do this and you're not passionate about the product, then you get out of town. But I'm just assuming those two things. So on top of those two things, I would recommend looking at comparable companies in similar places that you're in and see how they're doing. If everyone is doing bad and you're still passionate about your product, you think this is what you're doing, you believe in it, then maybe it is time to persevere. But if comparable companies similar in the industry, everyone's doing well and you're not, if you're not growing, then maybe it's some time to think about, you know, maybe this isn't the right business. Maybe you just don't have things right. Maybe you need extra help. Maybe you need to bring in some extra advisors or founders. I don't know what situation you're in, but it's not money. Money is never the answer. If you can't figure out how to make it work with the money that you've already invested in things like that, usually you're not going to be able to solve it with money, at least in my experience. Now, of course, there are the exceptions to that. Then also, what do your advisors think? I hope from listening to the show, from experience of your own, that you've learned the need for advisors, for people to speak into your life, because maybe you're convinced of something that you're completely wrong about. You need people to tell you you're wrong, and you need to be able to hear those people too. You need to have people that you're going to respect enough to believe even when you disagree with them. Now that is hard. That is really hard to do. I mean, you've put so much into something, you've put so much money, and to just walk away from that is terribly hard, but sometimes you need to do it. You need to cut your losses. But maybe your advisors were going to encourage you to keep going on, and then that will give you the motivation as well. So I'm not trying to like give you things to like really like gut check you to quit. I'm just saying these might be good indicators other than what you would normally think of just believing in yourself and believing this is what you're called to. But these are other tools to assess. I'm not trying to be super negative here. And then also maybe what your family thinks, because you know that's part of the sacrifice too, especially if you're married and you have kids. You're sacrificing their time and time with them and those kinds of things. So you need to make sure that they're on board and still with you through it. If they're not, then that's a pretty good indicator that you're done. Now, it's really cool. Twilio is one of those great stories. They pushed through it and now they're worth $14 billion. You know, they went from not being able to have funding to $14 billion. They have thousands of customers. They make $650 million last year in 2018. They have like companies like Uber, WhatsApp, Coca-Cola, Airbnb, Twitter, eBay. Those are their customers. They really figure it out how to make this work. And what do? They send text messages. So if you've ever gotten a text message from Uber, it's the Twilio technology that they've used. And just as a side note for taking us out of this story for a second, those are cool companies to invest in. When you see technology being used by other companies that are in the technology space and you have these customers like this, that's a pretty good sign that has an entrenched company that's going to be doing well for a while. There's a few different companies like that out there. Twilio is one of mine for a while. I mean, cell phones aren't going away anytime soon, and text messages probably aren't either. And I mean, even with like your wristwatch and your smartwatch and sending to your, just all the different technology you can use with text messaging, it's going to be around a while. And that is why I have a pretty penny in the Twilio stock, or in the Twilio company as stock. And the next thing to talk about is, when funding dries up, what do you do? He and his coworkers, they had no money. No one was investing in 2008. Not one person. There was $0 investment anywhere in 2008. Now, what did they do? They borrowed money from their family and friends, and they even sold their wedding presents. And that is devotion to the product. That is family buy-in. They even sold their wedding presents. I almost said their wedding parents. Sold the in-laws. And that's the kind of sacrifice that it takes. And that's a good point. If you are considering starting a business, you maybe have a good product idea. Just know that sacrifice is going to be required. There's no easy fix. You may see the success stories, but you don't see the failing companies oftentimes. You don't see the work that went into, the heartache, the stressful gut checks, having to lay people off. having to pivot in a company, like those are all emotionally tolling things. They're expensive, they're costly is what I was trying to say. And you don't see that stuff, but that is part of the package of entrepreneurship. That is part of the package of building a successful company is the sacrifice. You need to be aware of it. Selling your wedding presents. I mean, that could be a big deal for your family, right? Selling your possessions, selling your couch, selling your car. Like those are the things that people do, and let alone putting in tons of hours a week more than a normal job because you're putting your soul into this thing. You have to make it work. You want to make it work. So those are some of the things that you need to think about. And then, so another thing to do when your funds dry up is to get as much money as you can, and maybe it's borrowing money, selling things, whatever it is. Also, then to build an MVP or have the MVP and just find any customer. They talk about Twilio's first client was a man who had designed a website to help people find their missing mobile phone. Something really simple. You visited the site, you input the number, you paid a dollar, and it would ring your phone. That's actually a cool little, a simple little fix for, you know, back in the day. I mean, it was 2008, 2009, so think back then. And another thing they did is they thought of creative ways to get noticed. And the article says they had a big break in 2008, in November 2008, when Twilio decided to show off its technology by pranking the most influential tech blogger of the era, Michael Arrington, founder of the tech news website TechCrunch. And if you're not in the tech industry, you may have not heard of TechCrunch. TechCrunch is a pretty big website, especially today. And they found a creative way. So think of, if you're in that situation where you don't have funding, you need to think of creative ways beyond just advertising on social media or making social media posts on how are you going to get noticed by somebody who can project your business out to people that need to hear it, your customers, investors, whoever it may be. You need to be thinking creatively just as much as you're thinking creative about the products you sell. You need to be thinking about that from a marketing standpoint as well. And another thing is they didn't take no as a final answer. They had Sony Music on board as a client, and they went back to those investors that rejected them a year ago, and they didn't have hard feelings about it, or maybe they did, it doesn't really say, but I'm assuming they didn't if they went back to them. And they went back to those same investors, and they secured $1 million in funding. And that's a great lesson, too, is use those no's, and I've said this before, look for the roadblocks, those obstacles that come in a startup. They're going to come, and there are going to be a lot of them. Don't look at them as signs of rejection, signs of failure, signs that you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing, but look at them as guideposts to get you to where you need to go. In this case, the investors said no, which made them go be creative and to market their product, to get their product known, and they'd be able to secure a company like Sony. Think about this. They went to go get funding, which I'm assuming they thought they needed because you don't just give away equity. They thought they needed the money. They didn't get the money and still were able to go get a client like Sony. They probably were thinking there was no way they were going to get a client like Sony. But through the adversity, through being no, saying no, they went to go get a client, which raised their valuation, which means they had to give up less when they went back to those same investors for that money. It actually probably, and I'm not probably, most likely turned out to be an advantage for them, where they got to raise their evaluation and go back and give less of their equity for the money they requested. They didn't get discouraged, they didn't quit, they knew they had a product, and they did what they needed to do to grow their business and to get that funding. Now today, they have raised over $261 million in investment. And they have 16 offices in 10 countries, and they have 1,275 employees. What a great story. Now, I want to talk about also the founding of the founder, not the founding of the founder, but the beginnings of the founder, and how did he get to where he was? And they go into this in the article too, which is really great. It said, Jeff's entrepreneurialism can be traced back to when he was 13 years old. He launched a video production company, despite knowing very little about it. And he quotes, and he says, my first event was a three-year-old's birthday party. By the time I graduated high school, I was doing full wedding videos, and I made $15,000 for that. So I graduated high school with a lot of money saved up. That is awesome. And that just reiterates that we should be teaching our kids business. No matter what they eventually go into, business is going to be part of their life in one way or another. They're going to be working for a business. They're going to have their own business. They need to understand, or they don't need to, but they'll be better off if they do understand that. And then he also learned code as a teenager, and he wrote computer programs for his father's company, which provided the software for industrial printers. And this kind of goes back to one of the episodes we had called Jack of All Trades and Master of ... that there is incredible value in being able to know multiple things and bringing them together to make a unique offering, a product, your career, and your resume that other people don't have. And that's a way to differentiate yourself. He was doing videos and coding, and he was able to combine those things and be successful. And that is something we should be telling our kids. We should be talking to them about using their skills and hobbies and their strengths and combining them to create a unique value to their community, to their area, where they could create money, create value, and convert that into income and creating them to be sustainable. My kid is just turning, you know, he's a little under a year old. And, you know, when he goes to be 16, 18 years old and he goes out into the workforce, who knows what it's going to look like. But I do know this, if he understands business and he's able to understand leveraging his different skills to make value, to create value, he's going to be okay. You know, there may be 40% unemployment because robots have taken over. But if he understands how to make robots, or he understands how to use robots with the hobbies he has, he's going to be successful. With that, we will talk to you tomorrow. God bless.